content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior. Sun Warrior is a premium, all-natural raw superfood company dedicated to providing the best vegan plant-based protein powders and supplements. Go to sunwarrior.com to learn more about all of their products and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Enviromedica, makers of Terra Flora, a novel broad-spectrum symbiotic formulated with a combination of spore-form probiotics and advanced food-based ancient prebiotics. Wild Foods, small batch superfoods from around the world. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Wild Foods was founded out of an obsession with finding the best ingredients in the world to support health and longevity. Paleo Magazine, the well-being journal and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off all their products and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
Baby.
You want to go higher, baby? You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Ronaldo Davis broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas. We're also, and that's on iHeartMedia, of course, and KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. How are you doing today, Ronaldo?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. You know, we're broadcasting from home, as so many broadcasters are, so I'm still getting used to that, and, you know, just doing what everybody else is doing. And it's crazy. So I'm in the upper part of my house now, and I'm looking out. Now I just stood up. So I'm standing around, or standing up, walking around with my cell phone in my hand, looking out at my property, and I've got the door cracked. And so I'm enjoying a little nature and watching the birds, which reminds me I need to put bird seed in the bird feeder. I forgot to do that this morning, but always great to, you know, share my thoughts with everyone out there listening. You know, I have to say, probably a lot of people heard Mark Cuban speak just a few minutes ago, and I have to say I love Mark Cuban. I'm a huge fan of him. In fact, you know, I was one of the first sponsors of his cable television show, The Mark Cuban Show, you know, back in the 90s, and as the co-owner and founder of Wingstop Restaurants. And so he's an amazing guy. Everybody loves Mark. Everybody wants him to run for president. I even told one of my best friends a couple of days ago, God, I wish he would run maybe with Michelle Obama. But I got to say, you know, when he was talking about vaccines today, he's very misinformed. And if he's going to be our president, I hope that he will truly examine all the facts, not just the facts that the pharmaceutical companies and Wall Street want to put out there. Having said that, this is a good time to introduce Robin Perry Braun, who agrees with me on a lot of this stuff. She's been on the show as a regular guest for many years. She holds a master's in psychology and is a holistic energy practitioner who has also worked with sexual addictions for over 18 years. She is an emotion code and integrated life process practitioner, ordained minister, author, and speaker. She has created her own certified energy modality and holds trainings live and online. And she was doing it before the COVID-19, by the way. All of her virtual sessions, she is all over the world because, of course, it's digital. So she uses a holistic approach to address mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical issues. And it's always great to have her on the show. How are you doing today, Robin?
I'm doing well, Bernadette. I'm doing well. It's exciting to get to do everything I love to do and still be able to do it with the quarantine. So this has actually been a good timing for me. I actually have a new book coming out. And so I've had my beta readers send me many, many, many corrections that I'm humbled to say, going, wow. And this is taking me many hours to make that correction. But my publisher is on top of it, and we're hoping to get for a May release. So that's the other reason I'm kind of pumped, and well, my daughter may be going into labor any minute.
Oh, wow. You know, I was going to ask you about that. But you know as well as I do that you should never force anything. When you force something, you can make some really big mistakes, both in life and in business. But people can find you at your website at integratedlifestrategies.com. Today we're talking about learning good self-care, and I feel this is so important to address this, especially right now. So how can people use this situation to shift to a more holistic health approach?
Well, so what's going on with people right now is their normal daily schedule for most people has been thrown off. So when we are, you know, we kind of live our lives on autopilot. We're basically like icebergs, and about 95% of what we do is very subconscious. It's very automatic. It's very programmed. And so when our schedule or routine is thrown off, one, it can tend to make us a little more self-aware. We're not as busy. I think we're not as occupied. And so it kind of opens us up to some more possibilities that can go either way. They can either go good or they can go bad. It really depends on kind of where we're at.
Well, how do you determine? What's the best way to determine good mental health?
Well, so from an energetic standpoint, I do a lot of demonstration with this to understand emotions have a frequency, thoughts have a frequency. I'm always demonstrating with clients and people, negative thoughts actually make our body weaker, positive thoughts make us stronger. We think about 60,000 thoughts a day, and again, a lot of those are subconscious. So really the question is, do our positive thoughts and emotions outweigh our negative thoughts and emotions? Which of them carry more energy? Nobody's going to have 100% positive emotions and thoughts 100% of the day. Again, we're not even aware of a lot of it. And I don't think most people aren't going to have 100% negative. So really a lot of mental health from a quantum physics or frequency or energy standpoint, and then that can translate to physiological and psychological, is going to depend on, does the positive outweigh the negative in our interior life?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of science to back this up. Absolutely. You know, the book Power versus Force is a great place to start. And, you know, there's different types of energy. Can we go through quickly, if you will, the different types of energy and what kind of what's the word I'm looking for, Robin? How to quantify it?
Frequency or
vibration, the frequency.
Or...
There you go. Yeah. Let's talk about that.
That's good. So, and again, this is a lot of what I talk about in my book is trying to live a paradigm of a quantified energetic lens through which we see the world, because everything is either adding or taking away from. And so the human body vibrates between 62 to 68 megahertz. And that's the frequency. The radio station we're on in Dallas right now is 1190. That's actually a frequency. So our frequency is a measurable vibration of energy waves that our body is giving off. Emotions can add or subtract. So peace and joy are high frequency emotions, so they vibrate high. Fear, shame, hatred, bitterness, those are lower frequency emotions, so they vibrate low. So if we're meditating on a lot of fearful, shameful, or we've got a lot of that going on inside of us and it's trapped, it's taking our frequency lower. So that would be from a emotional standpoint, our thoughts. If I'm thinking positive thoughts, I'm raising my vibration. If I'm thinking negative thoughts, I'm lowering it. Why does this matter? And even now is that what they found out scientifically is that disease can only occur as our body's frequency gets below 68, 62 megahertz. Mm-hmm. As it gets lower, sickness, colds, flu, viruses set in. So when we raise our frequency, we're more immune to sickness, even viruses. So with this COVID thing, we're talking about, well, how do I build my immune system? So there's a lot of talk of vitamin D, vitamin C, and I'm sure you've had a ton of people on your show talking about how do I build my immune system so I'm less vulnerable to this virus. But We also build our immune system by not being in fear, by being in positively, by adding positive things in our environment. And everything adds. Roses have one of the highest frequency, the aroma of roses and rose oil has one of the highest frequency, has the highest frequency of any essential oil that's out there. So if I had roses outside my window and I was looking at them and smelling them every day, I would be raising my frequency.
Mm-hmm.
Or burning rose oil, running rose oil on a diffuser in my house, or any good essential oil. So everything in the planet that we see, smell, touch, taste, hear, speak, think, or feel is either raising or lowering. And a lot of these things, there are mechanisms that can quantify them. They can measure, there's devices that can measure the frequency of different foods. The agricultural system uses those. The average person isn't going to have that. We just intuitively know that raw organic fruits and vegetables are going to vibrate higher than McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I'm going to stop you at McDonald's because we're going to go to break. And when we come back, more coming up with Robin Perry Braun. We're talking about learning good self-care, especially during this time where we're all trying to just do and be well during the COVID-19 crisis. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. Everyone, this is Bernadette with Ronaldo Davis, and I have Robin Perry Braun on the line. She holds a master's in psychology and is a holistic energy practitioner who has also worked with sexual addictions for over 18 years. She is an emotion code and integrated life process practitioner, ordained minister, author, and speaker. You can find her at integratedlifestrategies.com. Before we went to break, Robin, our topic today is actually learning good self-care, but before we went to break, we were talking during our discussion about stress. And I have to tell you, I have to share with our listeners that I'm reading a book right now by a Japanese scientist, Toru Abu, and it's The Only Two Causes of All Diseases: Achieve Longevity by Controlling the Hypothermia and the Hypothermia. And, you know, one of the points that he makes in this book is that stress is the number one thing that can kill us and cause disease. And here in America, we have more of it than any other country, I think, because we're so money motivated is what I see. That's what I feel.
Right.
And do you feel that way, too?
Well, you know, and that's a good point, because if you really look at stress, about 90% of actual stress is the filter through which we see the world. We create our own stress because of our belief systems that we have, and most of those are subconscious. So if you ever met, you can look at two people who have the same job or the same industry, and one's stressed out all the time and the other one's not, and they're doing the exact same thing. So we know it's about how they view the world, how they see the world, what they believe about themselves, about other people, fear, all of those things are really the creation of that. And that's a great analogy for kind of what's going on even with this COVID-19 quarantine.
Yeah.
Is the gamut between how some people are responding and other people is night and day. It's total opposite ends of the spectrum, and it really has to do with perception.
Well, yeah, and when I look at anything in life, I base it on books that I've read. For example, you know, the reason I feel so strongly about vaccines is not because, you know, I have some sort of dog in the hunt. It's because I've read books like Silent Spring and How to Raise a Healthy Child in Spite of Your Doctor, Whitewash, the story of Weed Killer, Cancer and Corruption of Science, Moth in the Iron Lung, Vaccines, Autoimmunity, and the Changing The Changing Nature. I get very emotional when I talk about this topic because I'm so passionate about truth. But Thomas Cowan wrote an amazing book, probably one of the best out there besides The Moth and the Iron Lung, talking about the history of polio. And, you know, Mark Cuban brought that up this morning when he was speaking to everyone in the world, but especially focused here in Dallas. If when people learn the truth about so many things, whether it's our environment, cancer research, you name it, the truth really does need to come out, and it's very frustrating to sit by and watch it. For me, especially when I see it so clearly.
There's a brand new book that was just released called Truth Will Prevail. I don't know if you've heard about this.
I've got it.
Okay, great. Yep. And it's free.
Yep, I do.
Anybody who wants to get it, it's free.
Well, and here's another great book, okay, Curing the Incurable, Vitamin C, Infectious Disease, and Toxins, written by one of the most brilliant medical doctors and scientists, Thomas E. Levy. I mean, we can shut down COVID-19 with vitamin C, but you know, no one's really talking about that. That's what they should be administering to these people that are dying in hospitals. But there's not a lot of profit to be made from vitamin C.
It's about the money. Another book was just released called Plague of Corruption, Restoring Faith in the Promise of Science. And it's, you know, unfortunately indicts Fauci for some of his past involvement in things. But the bottom line is Big Pharma is a multi-billion dollar industry.
Exactly.
And they have a lot. And they have a big dog in the game to brainwash people into trust. And what I wanted to say, which is important in this belief system thing, is if nothing else, what's hopefully happening with people at home is they're waking up to go, I have lived my life with this brainwashing to believe that I can do whatever I want and trust that the medical profession is going to save me if I get sick. And if nothing else, this is waking people up to a new paradigm.
Absolutely. You know, and I What the Doctors Don't Tell You. It's a publication that, you know, in all of our grocery stores. And Lynn McTaggart, who wrote the book, oh my gosh, it's escaping me, right? The Intention Experiment. One of my favorite books, which is about energy and intention as well. She asked these questions. The three things that we must answer about the COVID-19 is, number one, how do the current death rates overall compare to the overall daily death rates in prior years and prior months? And how do these rates differ from deaths from seasonal flu? Number two, in the absence of any medical solution, like an effective antiviral or vaccine, why are doctors not experimenting widely with substances like intravenous vitamin C? And number three, why are few journalists not only investigating many known virus killers like vitamin C, ionizers, iodine, NAC, ginkgo biloba, and many, many more, but actively discrediting them? Why are they discrediting them?
Right. Well, you and I know the answer, but, you know, it really is about money. It's about
Makes
money
me
and
sick.
Power.
Well, the greed is unprecedented in this country, in America. Well, now it's kind of worldwide. It's like a virus. Greed is a virus. Greed is the darkest virus bacteria, and only human beings really experience it. And I think it's so funny that we think we're so superior, that we think we can do whatever we want to other species because we're human beings. We don't get the right to do that. No one gets the right to do that.
Right.
Okay, I'm jumping down off the soapbox.
I know. Well, I think the other thing is that what we've been brainwashed in general is to be afraid of viruses and bacteria. We see our body interacts with viruses and bacteria every day. You know,
Well, here's the scientific facts. You want science? There's more viruses on Earth than there are stars in the universe. And yes, they're alive. So are we going to vaccinate away every single one of them that crosses our path? You know, and I believe, like a lot of other people, that this COVID-19 thing is basically a case of cross-contamination. It should have never happened.
Yeah.
But again, we go back to
there's a lot of there's a lot of potential routes to go about the bioweapon design of COVID-19. But at the end of the day, regardless of what it is our immune system was amazingly designed to fight everything. We just have to take care of it.
Absolutely.
If you look at, you know, I deal with a lot with 5G and 4G. And if you look at, if you understand the path of what electromagnetic frequencies do to your body, there's a clear describable link, and I'm not going to go into all the letters and stuff, but there's a link between the effects of EMFs on the body and this cytokine storm that they're talking about, which is what a lot of people are dying from, which is an overreaction, an overly inflammatory reaction to your in your body's attempt to heal from the COVID-19. And there's a direct correlation between the effects of EMF radiation on the body and the body's inability to deal with an inflammatory response in a regulatory way. So we have to talk about protecting from EMFs as well as building the immune system, because that's part of the equation.
You bring up another great topic, this 5G network, okay? This 5G network, so many scientists all over the world are saying it's not a good idea, and yet we continue to allow these big companies to just push their agenda and push it forward while it's killing our bees and God only knows whatever else it's killing. And it's going to be worldwide here soon if something isn't done. As an energy, you know, practitioner, what do you say about 5G?
Well, I have a lot to say. I have a newsletter with lots of links that I did after watching a 5G crisis summit on my website. We have to protect and learn to mitigate. We can't just drink the Kool-Aid. Do I believe there's things that can be done on a large scale to mitigate the damaging effects of the EMF? Yes. Am I going to put my trust in whoever that's being done? Not necessarily. I did just read yesterday a lawsuit was won in England. A judge ruled in favor of the people fighting against 5G. So there's some victories going on here and there. The question is, we know some moving into the future of tech, it's going to get implemented. So the question is, can we trust, will we be able to trust the government to implement mitigation for the radiation or the toxicity of the waves versus we have to, as the individual, learn how to protect our homes, protect our children, protect our environment.
Absolutely.
By educating on it. And it's my responsibility to protect, and let's hope that the smart guys out there are informing all the businesses and governments on how not to kill mass populations with radiation. So, but at the end of the day, it's my responsibility to know what to do to take care of my health. If we look at the Constitution, what does it say? It says the freedom of the individual to govern their own life in the best possible way. We've created a world where in the medical world, we have given up our rights as constitutional individuals to defer to medical professionals to take care of us. And that's anti-constitutional. We are supposed to take care of ourselves. That's what individual rights means. It's self-responsibility. My right is to take
Absolutely.
Care of myself as long as I don't harm another human being in doing so.
Well, you know, it's always great having you on the show. I love this conversation that we've had today, and we all need to have this conversation. This is not a left thing. This is not a right thing. We need to meet somewhere in the middle and sit down and talk about it. There needs to be a congressional hearing about, in particular, vaccines. We talked about it with Mary Holland last week because it's connected to so many other things, ultimately our overall health. And, you know, I feel like if I was to draw a cartoon right now, I was thinking about this the other day, it would be a cartoon of two parents bickering and fighting while their child's drowning in the pool, you know?
Yeah.
And we have to stop the fighting and the bickering, and we need to sit down as adults and as Americans and solve the problems that we have at hand. It's not the left. It's not the right. We need to meet in the middle, respectfully. And so,
Education.
Okay, I'm standing up.
Education.
I'm going to... I'm sure my blood pressure is up. I'm sure my face is red talking about all this because I am so passionate about it. I am. And,
yes.
And only because I really care.
This is a time to be passionate and considerate. But get our heads out of the sand, use our voice, But educate on what we're speaking about. Make sure it's researched. Don't just be towing the party line because
right.
you've been programmed to believe something. Go research it for yourself. There's plenty of education material out there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Robin, thank you so much. We got to go to break so I can run this clock properly. we'll talk to you soon. You take care. Everyone, thank you for listening. We're going to love you too. We're going to continue on. You're listening to One Life Radio. Everyone, this is Bernadette with Ronaldo Davis and Von Eaglin. He is one of my favorite guys. He's been on the show for a very long time. He is a licensed professional counselor, supervisor, and works with two group practices in the Dallas area. He is a certified couple relationship trainer and sees a wide range of clients addressing men's issues, anger management, abuse, and addiction, just to name a few. He's also a doctoral candidate at the University of North Texas in the Counseling and Higher Education Department. His PhD research focuses on couple relationships, men and groups. You can find him at WeFixBrains.com. Von Eaglin, how are you doing? Oh, you know what I just discovered? No, it's Preston Place Counseling. I've got your old website here in my information as we struggle to produce this show from home. It's always great to have you on the show. And today we're talking about quarantine conflict. So what is quarantine conflict?
Conflict has increased during this quarantine time. You know, COVID-19 has brought a lot of things out in a lot of different people. And COVID-19 has also brought an increase in, like, conflict and domestic violence. But when we talk about conflict, you know, conflict is actually not necessarily a bad thing in relationships, but it has to be handled correctly. Because from my perspective, because I have a lot of different couples and families that come into my office. And when they come into my office, they many times talk about, hey, you know, we want to have better communication. That's always the first thing they say. We want to communicate more effectively. We want to have better conflict, or we want to resolve conflict. And so, Bernadette, you've heard me say a lot of different times that the majority of conflict, and I'm talking specifically about couples, is that the majority of conflict is perpetual. So we argue about the same thing over and over and over again.
Why is that, Von?
Well, you know, Bernadette, we're all different and we're all wired differently. So, you know, for instance, I'm always going to want the house a little colder than my wife. And there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, I'm just a little bit hot on edge. I'm a bigger guy than she is, you know. Whenever we talk about conflict resolution, it's typically a misguided goal, because anytime I have a couple, even just most relationships, whenever they come into my office and they say, hey, we want to resolve conflict, I have to kind of redirect and then reframe the issue, is that, you know what, the majority of conflict we won't resolve, but we have to learn how to manage it effectively, because only 31% of that stuff is solvable. But again, why is it? It's because fundamentally people are different. Everyone's wired differently. But most people tend to think, you know what, if you just acted a little more like me, we probably wouldn't have this issue. You know what I mean? Because, we like to criticize other people when they don't act the way we want them to.
Well, what are the typical things that people fight about? And you say that 31% of conflict is not solvable between a couple. Is that what you said?
So 31%.
That's pretty high.
Well, 31% is solvable, and then 69% is not solvable. It is perpetual.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So why do people fight? So honestly, to be honest with you, and I'm not trying to be mean or crass or crude, but when people come into my office, I tell them, you know what? I am not very concerned with the content of what you guys are arguing about. Because the truth of the matter is that that content is going to shift and change, you know, with the time. So, every couple that comes to my office, they're going to argue about money. They're going to argue about kids. They're going to argue about sex. They're going to argue about the in-laws. They're going to argue about the jobs and the careers, so on and so forth. So I'm not as concerned with the content of what they're discussing as much as I am concerned with the process. How is it they're discussing things? So because the process, there has to be safety within the conversation, within the couple, within the dynamic of the family, for them to have good conflict or to manage it more effectively.
Well, and how does power and control work into this? Because, you know, this is one of my favorite things to talk about is the wheel of power and control. If you're not familiar with it, it's basically this wheel that explains the different types of power and control and ultimately abuse, and how to have a deeper understanding of it. Is that great? Is that a good way to describe it?
Bernadette, we've done segments in the past about anger and stuff like that. And like, I'm an anger management. I don't want to call myself an expert, but I've been doing anger management for a long period of time. And let's just talk about anger just briefly.
Yeah. Right.
So there are different levels to this. So, you know, if I'm saying it's a scale of 1 to 10, on the first end, like a number one would be like minor irritation. And then in the middle would be anger. And then all the way up to, you know, a 10 would be like rage, where someone experiences a total loss of control. They may black out. Like, I may have a client that comes into my office. They say, you know what? I blacked out. I don't know what happened. I woke up. You know, there was blood on the concrete and the ambulance were on their way. You know, can that actually happen? Yeah, the answer is yes. And so now anger is really related to not getting what you want. Essentially is related to power and control, because anytime you get angry, you know, it's a frustration to your goals, your wishes, and your desires not being met. You want something to happen anytime you get angry. In effect, we're almost kind of like all like big kids, you know what I'm saying? So I'll give you an example. So let's say you're dating someone, Bernadette, and then you call them, but then they don't return your phone call. You're waiting. They usually return your phone call within an hour, but then, hey, you know what? They wait, you know, 2 hours go by, 3 hours go by, 4 hours go by, and then you get angry. You know, why do you think you're getting angry? You know what I mean? So what did you want to happen? I mean, you tell me, is that, so you probably wanted them to call you back. You probably wanted attention. You probably want to feel understood. You probably want to feel close to that person. So therefore you may get angry. But again, you know, you're getting angry because you want something to happen. And it's totally normal. It's totally fine. You know, we've talked about anger, and that anger is, I'll say it like this. You know, whenever you get angry, and you don't get what you want, that's when you sometimes tend to act out and try to get what you want. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, and at the end of the day, it does come down to power and control. Doesn't it?
Yes.
I mean, when someone gets angry, it's all about power and control. And if you look at the wheel, my goodness, you know, there's a lot of different ways. There's, intimidation, coercion and threats, male privilege, economic abuse, even, I don't see it on here, but even religion falls into this sometimes, using children, minimizing, denying and blaming, isolation, emotional abuse. And none of it's good, especially if there's children around. It can do so much damage to children.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Because, you know, I mean, those are some of the ways that power and control can manifest. Usually I say fundamentally two ways that people exhibit, you know, whenever they feel powerless, like two ways that usually comes out. One is that they try to intimidate to get what they want, you know, so they're really saying, give me something, you know, or they can also use it for protection. You know, it's like, get away from me. I recall a story, Bernadette, whenever you told me that, I guess somebody was coming into the pizza shop one day and you had to, you know, take out your gun and maybe shoot some bullets or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's just self-defense. I had to show them who was boss.
Exactly. You know, but you were using, you probably got angry, but that's a way to protect yourself. You were getting angry to protect yourself because, you know, honestly, people, we're not wired to experience powerlessness. That's not something that we're trained how to do, because in our lives, we like to have some semblance of power and control inside of our lives. And then whenever we don't experience power and control, we tend to act out, or we try to do things to try to reestablish power and control. And that's even relevant, especially relevant nowadays with the whole COVID-19, because a lot of people are experiencing powerlessness nowadays, you know.
Yeah. Well, what's at the very root of, well, you know what, we're going to go to break. I'll save that question for after the break, that what's at the very root of all of this. This, and we're continuing to talk about quarantine conflict with Von Eaglin. You can find him at PrestonPlaceCounseling.com. And what's your Twitter, Von? Your Instagram.
So it is Von Talks, Von, Talks with an S, Von Talks.
Yeah, there you go, Von Talks.
On Instagram.
And we're going to talk more with you. Bob's going to talk here in just a minute. Everyone, stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio.
What you like, what I like, why can't we both be right? Attacking, defending, until there's nothing left worth winning. Your pride and my pride, don't waste my time.
Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Ronaldo Davis and Von Eaglin. If you're just now joining us, Von Eaglin is a licensed professional counselor, supervisor, and works with two group practices in the Dallas area. You can find him at PrestonPlaceCounseling.com or on Instagram at Von Talks. We're talking about quarantine conflict today. And so, quarantine conflict is basically arguing because familiarity breeds contempt. Is that a concise description of what's going on right now?
Yeah, I really like how concise you are, Bernadette. You know, so but yeah, so people are kind of getting tired of each other as they're sticking around each other at home. You know.
Oh yeah. Well, we all need our space to be happy. We do. Everyone needs their space. That's just part of the human experience. But why is conflict on the rise during the quarantine? Other than just the space and the money. Is this something that just happens, you know, with people that spend too much time together, period?
Well, we kind of talked about before the break that a lot of people are experiencing greater powerlessness and even hopelessness. And, you know, I mean, you see that unemployment is up, of course, and a lot of people are out of jobs. Mm-hmm. And so, mm-hmm. You know, if you are home with someone who is an abuser, so to speak, that gives them a greater opportunity to abuse you. Simply because, you know, rather than them going to work or rather than them, or you going to school or something like that, let's say if it's a child, you are now around the person who could potentially emotionally, mm-hmm. physically, sexually, or even psychologically abuse you. And that is not a good thing. So
absolutely. Well, it makes me think of a girl that's been on the show a couple of times, a woman, Wanda Means. And right now, I don't have her book in front of me that escapes me the title of it, but she wrote a book about snow, and in that book there was a chapter on snow days and how she hated it because she grew up in the north, and when there was snow, that's when her mm-hmm. stepfather would sexually abuse her, and she hated snow days because of the result of it. And when you think about stuff like that and the children, what they are exposed to, and especially right now with this COVID-19, being stuck at home with your abuser, I mean, there's a lot of tragedy happening.
Yeah, you're right about it, you know, and so, and not only are you stuck at home with the person, but the resources are not readily available like they typically are. You know, I've looked at some of the research out there, and I'm seeing, you know, rates as low as like 15% in terms of a spike. Up to some countries, I'm seeing like, you know, domestic violence is up 3 times as much. And then
wow.
If you're at home with your abuser, let's say you are talking to a counselor and you're making a safety plan. Well, that safety plan now looks different because, okay, did you call them? Did you call the hotline while you're, you know, in front of your abuser? You know what I'm saying? Like,
wow,
I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
You know, whenever I do couples counseling, you know, the second meeting, I interview both people individually because I want to get, you know, their eyewitness testimony, so to speak, or I want to be able to understand what they're experiencing because, you know, in the initial meeting, you know, if they're talking, if you've been abused by somebody, you don't tell the person the couples counselor, hey, you know what? Oh, yeah, he's hitting me, you know, because you're already here. You're already in a state of hypervigilance. So I need to get you individual story. And it's like, if the abuser is already around, how do you create your safety plan and, you know, stash money in a secret place? How is it you make a call? How is it that, you know, like there, you know, and then who do you go to? Because some of the shelters that are normally there aren't necessarily as available. You know what I mean? So the hotlines, they have a higher frequency. So it may take you longer if you actually do get a chance to make a call. And so, you know, so it's just not a good situation for a lot of people. So.
Yeah, no, it's not. And unfortunately, I've experienced some of what you're talking about early on in my womanhood, in my, my late teens, when I was like 19, I don't know, 24, 25, I had a boyfriend that was physically abusive, but it didn't happen until we were together until for many, many years. And when he did become violent, it was very violent, and I did not know what to do. I did not know where to go. Eventually, I went to his mother, and she helped me to escape. She did. Yeah. And he went for counseling and for his anger management. And now he's a well-functioning, you know, wonderful guy. But it can get out of control quickly when someone does not own their anger.
You're right about it. You're right about it. And there are different types of domestic violence. We've done some shows specifically about domestic violence. You know, there's what we call situational domestic violence. That's like if I have someone who, you know, they get angry and then they act out. You may see them maybe hit or push or something like that. Usually there's no, like, you know, blood spilt. They're not going to the hospital, you know, to, you know, heal injuries and different things like that. And so that's somebody who may have anger issues. They may, you know, not keep their hands to themselves. They may have learned some of these behaviors from their family of origin whenever they don't get what they want, you know. So that's not, you know, no domestic violence is a good thing, but that's a little bit more situational. It depends on the situation. And then we have the other type, which is much worse, which is called characterological domestic violence. That's much more severe for the victim. And we categorize, you know, two types of characterological domestic violence. John Gottman and the Gottman Institute, we talk about one type is a pit bull. The other one is a cobra. And the pit bull is somebody who they tend to strike out at their victim physiologically when they're overwhelmed, you know, so they don't know what to do. They may be extremely possessive. They're going to be really controlling. That's the guy who, you know, puts a piece of chalk behind the tire and says, oh, you moved the car today. Where'd you go? You know what I mean?
So, oh, gosh. I know. I have a girlfriend that was married to somebody like that. He is track of how much gas she used. I was like, holy smokes, you need to get out of that marriage. Yeah.
Right. And the crazy thing, someone like that, you won't see that to the outside person because toxic people aren't toxic in every environment a lot of times. And so, you know, that's the woman who comes home and she's catching hell. And, you know, but in public eye, you know, everyone says, oh, he's a good guy. But they don't know what's going on at home. You know, now that second type we talked about, it's a cobra. It is on the antisocial scale, meaning that they don't care about people. They don't have empathy for other people. They don't feel the way that other people do, and there's just a lack of remorse for the victim. In fact, they kind of get excited by making the victim panic. Usually, if I have a woman, you know, let's say you see the iris of the eyes whenever they're talking to the husband, you know, you see the whites of the eyes. Like, that's not a good thing because that guy, he'll look belligerent, you know, and like, hey, you know what, I'm going to attack you, or I look like I'm really, really getting upset. But the creepy thing about it is that his heart rate is actually starting to decrease as he's looking more belligerent and more upset, more warlike, you know. And so you see this, and it's kind of a scary thing, but, you know, it's more on the lines of the antisocial, sociopathic kind of scale, but not a good thing. Neither one of those is a good thing. Again, no domestic violence is good, but the characterological domestic violence, like those are two types of domestic violence that I'm definitely like, you know, you need to separate from this person or things can get really bad really quickly. Somebody's going to get injured, maybe even killed, because, you know, so not a good thing. So.
Well, no. And I hear the music in the background. Quickly, 15 seconds. What tips do you want to give to people out there listening that might be caught in a situation like this?
So,
besides run.
You may want to Google.
Run for it. Run.
So Google a few things. I know Safe Horizon has like a chat service where you can do like quiet interactions. There's even an escape button on the website that you can push. So you want to look at a few different ways that you can get out of a relationship like that. And yes, there are some shelters open. Your safety plan is going to look different. It may not necessarily be physical safety, but emotional safety.
All right. Thank you so much. Von Eaglin, you can find him on Instagram at Von Talks or PressInPlaceCounseling.com. Everyone, we got a split.
You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.